We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All right, coming up later on this hour, in the last segment of the program, I've got Tim Corbin, legendary baseball coach at Vanderbilt. Cannot lie, this weekend I was all caught up in the regional in Tucson. My UC Santa Barbara Gauchos wrapped up the regular season with 8 straight wins. They played their way in. They got a win over Oklahoma State. Prior to that game, my first text in the morning came from the legend that is Matt Holliday. He's part of that program. And said, yeah, man, us and you, this is going to be a blast. And then we beat them. And then we lost Arizona. And then we beat them again. And then we lost Arizona. It was fun. I was watching that game last night on ESPN3. While doing my other prep for this show, and I got to admit, man, I was stressed. I was taking it pretty seriously. Not sure why. Because it's personal. Had a really interesting weekend, too. So Friday night, and I put this in a late night story, went out to dinner. Have not done this in a long, long time. Lately, I've started to kind of work my way back out to dinners outside, you know, in the right situation. But mostly just with the fam. I mean, exclusively, which is the fam. But had a business dinner of sorts set up by my guy, Ed Milette. So Friday night, Ed Milette and John Gordon and all three wives went out to dinner. We went to Mastro's. Have not done that in years. Mastro's Ocean Club is right next to Javier's. So you want to talk about a place where you want to be. They're right there in the same shopping center. Crystal Cove, Newport Coast. Had not done that in a long, long time. So went out, saw the fellas, talked some business, got some cow, had a great time. And one of the guys, and these guys are already like killers. Killers in the personal development space. I started a new podcast, which if you want to know more about, go to my Instagram feed. I'll just leave it at that. But I've had both those guys on that podcast. And that space has always interested me. So we're having this great dinner. Ed, I went on Ed's podcast in March of last year, but we haven't seen each other since because of the pandemic. So we're having dinner, and John's there too, John Gordon. And we're just talking about it. And we're talking about mutual relationships. We're talking about guys in the space. And I mentioned to them that I had this amazing conversation with Michael Franzese. Many of you know Mike Franzese. But I never had Michael Franzese on this new podcast that I'm doing. And so we're having this conversation, and we're just having a great night. Really, really good night. And then at the very end of the night, this guy rolls up on me, maybe a 30-year-old. Nice-looking guy, good energy about him, big smile on his face. He said, excuse me. And I looked over, I said, yes. He said, are you Jim Rome? I said, I am. How you doing, bud? He looks at me and he says, I'm Mike Franzese's son. I said, dude, that's amazing. We were talking about pops like a half hour ago. And he says to me, he's here. I said, your dad's here? He said, yeah, he's right over there. So Michael Franzese rolls over to the table. Now understand about Mike. I've been interviewing Mike, and Mike's got one of the most compelling stories ever. If you know this show and you know Michael Franzese, you know he's a former mob boss who went away for about 10 years, did about 10 years worth of time, paid his debt to society. He found his faith. He's come out. He's like the one and only guy ever to get out of the mob. And he didn't go into witness protection. He had a bounty or a contract on his head. He somehow made it to California and survived. And we've told the story before, and I've had him on, and he's on this past week on my other podcast. But we were talking about Mike, and I'd never seen Mike out and about like that. I think Mike and I have had sit-down conversations, but not in a long time. And we live close to each other, relatively speaking. But that whole thing was just so weird. Like, we were just talking about Mike, and there's Mike in the restaurant. You believe that, Ike? And the funny thing was, when Mike came on that podcast, off the air, we said, are we ever going to do this, Mike? Mike to me to him. Man, we got to have lunch. We got to have dinner. We got to do this at some point. Thank you very much, man. Much respect. And then sure enough, he was there that night in that restaurant. Our first night out in, I don't know how long, for like a business meeting. Business last social. But just quite the night at Mastro's. And Javier's was right next door. That'll be our next stop. But running into Michael Franzese that night was wild. That was great. Good time. Really good time had by all. So that was my weekend. That was the reason for the late night story on Instagram on Friday night. So what'd y'all do this weekend? 1-800-636-8686. That phone number is toll free. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And also, as I started that whole weekend thing, much of my weekend was tracking my beloved Gauchos at the regional in Tucson. Played their guts out, won a couple of games. Proud of you fellas. Tim Corbin coming up in the final segment. Mike D for three tweets. 12 Wood is definitely relevant. Signed, Pauly Shore. There you go. All right, so the worst kept secret in the NFL was that Julio Jones was available for a trade. Now, why do we know that? Because he went on an interview, or did an interview with Shannon Sharp, and said, I'm out of here. Although I'm not convinced that he knew he was on the air. In fact, probably didn't. Either way, it was out there. So the worst kept secret is now an open secret because that deal apparently is done. Julio and a sixth pick in 2023 headed to Tennessee for a second-round pick next year and a fourth-round pick in 2023. The deal has been agreed upon, but it's pending a physical as well as the Titans clearing out some cap space. So I would credit the Titans for taking a big swing, but really, they didn't have to give up that much to get him. It was not that big of a swing. As Cam Jordan tweeted, quote, how Julio only worth a second and a fourth? End of tweet. And that's how weird it is right now in the NFL when teams make trades. A second and a fourth for Julio Jones. I mean, a first ballot Hall of Famer and a sixth. I love that for Tennessee. I don't care that he's 32. I don't care that he was banged up last year. I mean, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that it's not something of a concern. I'm not saying you make a deal like that without gathering as much info as you possibly can before you pull the trigger. But that guy is still one of the best to ever do it. That guy does still have something left in the tank. And he absolutely fills the need. And they got him without having to part with a first rounder. In other words, to me, it's a no-brainer for Tennessee. A deal with some risk, but a no-brainer nonetheless. Like, if I'm the Titans, I make that deal all day, every day, all week. And I'm pumped. So while it's not officially official, it is close enough to official. The Titans GM, John Robinson, has already spoken to reporters about it. He was asked about Jones, what he liked about him, what he has to bring to it, and he said, quote, he's big, he's fast, he's tough, he's great with the ball in his hands, a willing blocker. I think a lot of things that we ask of our receivers, get open, catch, and block. He certainly checks those boxes, and he's done it at a high level in the National Football League. End quote. Yeah, pretty much. He's big, he's fast, he's tough, he's got great hands, and he blocks. Yeah, this is why he's Julio Jones. Tell me something I didn't already know. Now, let's get to the real. Let me read you a list of three names. Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. I mean, damn. That's an offense right there. That's a real, actual offense. That's not a fantasy lineup. That's what the Titans will be able to run out there every single week. That's a grown ass man offense. Those three dudes don't just play, they dominate. Over the past decade, Julio has had 58 100-yard games. The Titans, as a team, have had 50. This is what I mean by domination. He has three 200-yard games. The Titans have never had one. He has a 300-yard game, which, of course, the Titans also have not had either. And yes, I know he's coming off a tough year, but why don't we talk about that for a little bit? Yes, he only played 9 games due to injury, but he had 51 receptions, 771 yards, and 3 TDs. So in maybe his worst season ever, he still averaged nearly 86 yards per game. That still projects out to nearly 1,400 yards per season. In other words, he still has something left in the tank. In fact, more than something. And maybe you're wondering, yeah, but what about A.J. Brown? How's A.J. feeling about another elite receiver showing up in Tennessee and maybe taking away some of his targets? He's fine. Trust me, he's fine. In fact, he's all about it. This was A.J. on TikTok late last month superimposed over an image of himself, Julio, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill. In the video, Brown is wearing a Julio gamer with tape over the ATL logo and changing the number from 11 to 8. My man's giving up his number. He's superimposing his head. Like, he's all about it. He is making his pitch hard.
I haven't even been released yet. Okay, I'm going to sell you on some things right here. Listen to me closely. You have 10 of you. Mr. Finger Roll himself, every time, Air Hill. Listen, he does what he needs to be done. Like, he's a leader. He's a great passer. He's it. Anyway, next. Him, behind me, superhuman. We don't even have to discuss him. He speaks for himself. Look how mean he look in the picture. Like, okay. Then me, I'm up and coming. Pro Bowl, year two. Not a big deal. Kind of a big deal, but not really. Okay, scratch that. Anyway, whatever. You, the GOAT of our era. Of our receivers. Help me help you. Come home, Julio. Come home.
Come home, Julio. My man, AJ Brown, this dude is the ultimate salesman.
Come home, ultimate Julio closer.
Before hitting him with a gold jacket in Canton, I'm thinking I might hit him with a golden ticket. I'm thinking they should hit him with a gold jacket from Century 21. Because AJ Brown can sell. He wasn't done. He was not done either, because yesterday he tweeted video of himself warming up before a game wearing Julio's Falcons jersey with the caption, "I was the first player to ever wear a current player jersey in warmups. I really manifest this before anybody knew." End of quote. Got another good point. Maybe he did. Maybe he did manifest that. Maybe he did put that out there in the universe and it came back. Or, to put it another way, he tweeted a photoshopped image of him with Henry and Jones in Titans gear and this caption, quote, "Please excuse my language when I say this. Y'all done bleeped up." End quote. I gotta agree with the guy. He's right. If you still don't know just how much Brown loves Julio, I can't figure out why you wouldn't know by now. But he will tell you. He had more. This guy cannot stop talking about the legend who's coming in. Quote, "The physical part of his game is crazy. He plays with dominance. He can beat you over the top. He can beat you underneath. He doesn't have any flaws to his game. For me in college, he was teaching me everything and didn't even know it. That's when I didn't know him and was just watching him." End of quote. So the guy that he wanted to emulate, the guy that he was studying in college, is now his teammate. And he kind of manifested as much. Kevin Byard was quick with a video to welcome Julio to the team as well.
"It was good, Julio. It's KB here. Want to be one of the first ones to welcome you to the team. Welcome you to the city of Nashville. Can't wait to go to work with you. Can't wait to watch you and AJ go over top of defenses and watch Derrick Henry stiff arm everybody else. So like I said, man, welcome to the squad, dog."
All right, so we know AJ Brown is hyped. We know Kevin Byard is hyped. But how are you feeling right now if you're Ryan Tannehill? I'm not going to say that getting away from Adam Gase was a complete and total game changer or life changer for Ryan Tannehill. But how much better is this guy's life now that he's away from that clown? Because Tannehill went from being a bust to being a Pro Bowler and the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and now he's got a fantasy team right in front of him. Like, do I want to hand off to a 2,000-yard dump truck with a Ferrari engine? Or do I want to throw it to a receiver who's had 1,000-yard seasons since he entered the league in 2019? Or do I want to throw it to a receiver who's had 7 1,000-yard seasons since 2012? As Brown told ESPN, "It takes some of the tension off of me. And with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, with Anthony, having another dominant guy on the other side, everybody has to be honest. Now you don't know who's going to hold who. I might get CB1, or Julio may get CB1. But whoever gets CB2, that corner is going to be in trouble. It's going to be fun." End of quote. He's right. It is going to be fun. Fun for everybody except CB2. Because that poor dude's going to be in absolute hell. Some dude's going to get stuck on either Jones or Brown, and they're going to get stuck on the wrong side of highlights all day long. and then the arrival of Julio does the impossible. It makes Derrick Henry even more dangerous. Because if you want to put more guys in coverage to help that CB2 and try to cover those two monsters, then Derrick Henry is going to step on your head and stiff arm you right through the bottom of the earth. Henry ran for 2,000 yards last season, despite the fact that he had to face eight guys in the box more than any other team in the league. So, if you're the Titans, how do you improve that? You bring in a future Hall of Famer at wideout, and you tell opposing defenses to go ahead and pick their poison. Do you want to be killed over the top, or do you want to be punched in the face? Your choice. You want to talk about building a bully. The Titans are doing that. They're going for it. I'm here for it. I love it. The only person who loves it more than me is A.J. Brown. I'm not saying that they don't have issues. I'm not saying they don't still have things they have to address on the other side of the ball, because they do. I'm saying what they're going to do offensively, provided Julio stays healthy, could cover up a lot of the problems they have on that defense.
Welcome to the squad, dog.
And I'm saying I love that move. It's not without risk, but it's got tremendous upside. And if he's right physically or close to it, look the hell out.
The GOAT of our era.
The GOAT of our era.
Of our receivers. Help me help you.
This guy's pumped up. He's offering his number too. Yeah, so I think A.J. Brown's quite all right with Julio coming in. Tim Corbin coming up at 40 past. One more open segment when we come back. Probably the ATP working in there somehow too. This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through the challenges, you need somebody who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice that you need to get past whatever is in front of you and get you where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. Backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches, you want to call and click Grainger.com or stop on by. Coming up next segment, I've got legendary baseball coach Tim Corbin. Also this segment, time for the ATP, Ask the Pros. You submit your question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Mr. Rome, today is National Donut Day. Do you have a favorite donut? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. You know, I try not to indulge so much anymore. Used to be a big donut guy, because who's not? Donuts are crack. But if I'm going to go, I'm going to go big. I'll go like Bear Claw. I ain't playing. Wait, you think I'm going to go there and get a plain donut? Or a donut with sprinkles? Come on, man. But have not gone lately. But if I'm going to go, I'm going to go big. I'm going to go Bear Claw, or if I'm going to be on my best behavior and stay in my shoes, maybe just go old fashioned. But probably both. And probably after a bender. Jimmo's, who picked up the tab when you went to dinner with your friends, John Gordon and Ed Milet on Friday? It's kind of a baggy question. Let's just say we all fought for it. Nobody needs to know who picked that up. Jim, just know that we had a great time. Hey, Jim, you and Dan Le Batard had incredible chemistry for never doing radio together. Were you surprised by how well that whole thing went? I've seen you on a few different shows outside the jungle, but that was the best ever by a long shot. Thanks. Greg in Reading. No, I'm not surprised. And I got to tell you, I think I had interviewed Dan once back in the day before he had a show, and he was just a columnist, a writer, a reporter. And I had him on my TV show, and I've always had immense respect for him. And to answer the question, am I surprised that it went as well as it did? No, because we have a lot of respect for each other. The shows respect each other. The hosts respect each other. We all respect the process. I respect what he and they have accomplished, and I get the sense they respect what I and we have accomplished. So no, I'm not at all surprised. It was a really good time and a really good experience, and not surprising. Jim O's, when was the last time you spoke with Jake, and what did you talk about? Brent in PC. Boy, what a good question. The last time I spoke with Jake was yesterday at dinner because he's home. We talk about a lot of things. He wanted to pitch me something and said it was time sensitive. He texted that to me. You gotta love that, right? In the same house, we're texting each other because that's smart. And so I thumb back, why is it time sensitive? And then he didn't respond. Must not have been that sensitive. Time's up, son. Ice that, son. Ice and ibuprofen. So Jake is home.
Ice up, son.
Has been home for a while. And then he is going to go back to Wisconsin. And then he's going to meet us on the lake. And then he's coming back to Del Mar for his summer internship while we stay on the lake. Let's see what else we got here. If you have an ATP, hit me up. This is the ATP segment. Romy, blessed are the golden ticket class of 2021, for they are in the presence of the greatest smack-off season blowtorch the jungle has ever seen. I expect the number of tickets to be cut in half by the time I'm through with all these amateurs. War me and Tan Smack being the only two people around these parts that have multiple ladies posing on Harley Davidson motorcycles. Signed, Tyler in Shrebbington. He's not wrong, dude. He's not wrong. He and I are the only ones with multiple ladies posing on Harley Davidson motorcycles. And one more. Sam in Grand Rapids. Julio's all right, but he's no Jason Avant.
Jason Avant.
That's true. Nobody is. All right, let's go to the phones. This is the only guy that Hawk would ever let through without him being crystal clear on what it is he wants to talk about. Let's go to Los Angeles, Fabian. It is smack-off season. What's up, Fabes?
Good morning, Romy. Good morning, Jungle. The thing here, watch. Let me cover sports, right? Hey, Dodgers, we'll be all right. Not a problem. Lakers, you know, some people might take it wrong, but you know what? Anthony Davis, that body language and the whole deal, dude, it ain't going to cut it, you know? He might be good, whatever, you know, but he's got to stop playing like a little bitch, you know? Anyway, so I told Adam about the – because he – things are starting to get back to normal in a way, you know. So I'm thinking right here down the street, I'm trying to get a watch party going. So, you know, there's my ask the pros question. How should I go about it, Romy, you know? I called the 26-time winner, Rich Flores, you know. Oh, check this out. So I call him up, right? And you know who answered? I mean, I know you're not going to answer, right? But, you know, I'll give you a hint. It's like a fake. The fake. Nah. Silk bra, you know. Eric Silkinson, whatever. He's like, blah, 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 blah. Am I coming through, Romy? Am I coming through? Well, anyway, that's the pros. How should I go about it? About starting a little watch party? And if not, just to get it around, I'm in Rancho Cucamonga now. So anywhere around here, boom, let's handle it. If not, hey, come to the pad, no problemo. Talk to you guys later, eh? Good to hear from you guys. Keep it on the up and up. I'm out, eh?
Yeah, Fabian, make it to the end of the phone call. Adam, throw in your cans right quick. I'm trying to decode what I just heard, but it seems to me that he was asking, wants to put together a watch party. Do you have any advice for Fabian trying to put together a watch party? How would he go about doing that?
Sure. I would find your local watering hole that will open at 9 in the morning or already does open at 9 in the morning, West Coast, and have a little chat with him and say, I would love for you to have CBS Sports Network on while I am here from 9 to noon. In exchange, I will buy many drinks and lots of food and invite lots of people.
Yeah, but will he?
I mean, I don't know. He got pretty liquored up the last time we saw him down at Buffalo Wild Wings. So I would say probably. And he did get kicked out of Hennessy's.
I know he'll drink lots of alcohol, but will he buy? You just said that he will buy drinks for people.
Well, I guess you're also promising on behalf of the people that you're going to bring that they'll run up a tab as well. So just find a local spot. See if they're open when the Smack Off is on. See if they have CBS Sports Network. And then invite the people around you to join. And if it's quasi-legit, we will help out and let other people know about it, because we probably have a bigger platform than Fabian to get the word out.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true. Listen, really quickly, your message to other vendors or bars or watering holes or establishments, we missed last year because of the pandemic, but the year before there were a number of them. What should they do if there's a bar owner or somebody like that thinking about maybe having a watch party? What would you tell them?
I would say it's a great thing to do. The Lorelei Inn in Green Bay did a great one. Hennessy's did one as well. 750 The Game in Portland did one. Great turnouts. You know, you'll get people that come out. They'll spend money at the establishment. We'll hit them up on your social media, which has 1.3 million followers. So it's a good thing for everyone involved. And also, not a lot of bars are doing business at 9 in the morning. So it's a good chance to pad the cash register as well. We understand there might be some hesitation given the current climate with the pandemic, but we're also kind of coming out of it. A lot of vaccinations out there, and people are going back to restaurants and doing what they need to do to get it done. So if you're into it and you've got cable television, we're into sending people to your spots.
Well, and they should know, make sure to reach out to you and me both.
Yeah,
hit us up on social.
Absolutely. You can email us, rome@haveatake.com, or you can hit up Jim at Jim Rome. I see most of the tweets, or you can hit up me at I'm Adam Hawk on Twitter. And yeah, if it looks good and it's something that we don't mind promoting, then we're absolutely into it. We did it in 2019, and it was really cool.
All right, then. Nice job. Let's get it. Let's do it. 18 days, 14 shows, Smack Off 27, most important day of the year in the jungle. And if you're having a watch party, let us help you promote it. If you're not, I understand that, too. If you're not ready for that yet, I understand that as well. I'm just saying that if you are a local business owner or you have a restaurant or a bar and you're thinking about doing this, we can help you promote it. We can help you push it. Just let us know. When we come back, the head baseball coach at Vanderbilt, Tim Corbin, is my guest. That's coming up. Before I get there, though, I need to get here. And here. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. One last segment. I was talking earlier today about the Tucson Regional for college baseball. I want to finish that thought and discuss a different regional and the Super Regional. We are joined right now by the head baseball coach at Vanderbilt. 19th season as head coach of Vanderbilt. He has led Vanderbilt to a pair of College World Series titles. He is a member of the American Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. More than 900 career wins. Vanderbilt, 43-15 on the season. They will face East Carolina in the Super Regional. Tim Corbin is my guest. Tim, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. Good to hear your voice again.
You too, Tim. Good to hear your voice. So let me ask you, you're coming off a win over Georgia Tech, which started last night. It ended this morning. It could not have been more dramatic. So take me back a few hours. Top of the 11th, bases loaded, Isaiah Thomas at the plate. What was going through your mind in that moment?
Well, I guess I was just looking for contact there. And the young man, Isaiah, dropped a fly ball earlier in the game that led to a big inning for Georgia Tech. So, you know, in those situations right there, you'd love to see a kid redeem himself a little bit and counterpunch, and he did. It was a two-strike pitch, and he hit it over the left field wall. And, you know, at that point right there, it just it put our team up big at the time, although that was the type of game that you felt like it was never going to end. It was like the team that had the last at bat, and they actually did. Even though we were home, they had the last at bat. But I was very happy for him, very happy for our team. It was a very emotional game.
I was going to say, in terms of emotion, Tim, the reaction, for those who did not see it, what was the reaction like in the dugout when that happened and he hit that grand slam?
I mean, it's crazy. Our field is very intimate, Jim, where the fans are right on top, and everyone stayed in their seat for 5 hours. So everyone was into it, and they were just anticipating something. But, you know, Isaiah, it's that adrenaline rush that you get when you hit a ball and, you know, him sprinting around the bases. I guess a bat flip right now is kind of common, although we don't like that. But he didn't really flip it. He shoved it aside. But the sprint around the bases and him getting to home plate and the group coming out to meet him, it was, I guess euphoric for the kids. And it's fun to see them having fun at that level.
We're talking to Tim Corbin. Tim, I want to talk to you for a minute about approach, because Thomas said that his approach actually was pretty simple. He said, quote, "There's no place to put me. I knew all I had to do was touch the ball. There was less than two outs. I was just trying to stay within myself, put a good swing on the ball, get a ball that I could hit, and then that's what happened," end quote. You and I have talked about the mental approach in the past. How important is it when you're in a situation like that to have players who are not trying to do too much?
Yeah, it's really controlling your adrenaline, because you get into those moments right there, and when you're a young kid, you've never been through that before. It's very difficult to do. Now, he, like a lot of our kids, after the 19 national championship year, this is a new team. So some of them had their eyes on that, but they've never been in the middle of it before, and Isaiah's one of those. But I think he just got himself into the game where he there was a good face. You could see it. He was controlling himself, and he didn't take a big swing. It was really just getting the head of the bat out and just trying to make contact. And oftentimes I think when you don't try to recruit more resources to hit the ball, you just try to get to the ball, you do more damage. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, he's a very strong kid. He's got just natural strength in his hands, and he's kind of like those old 70s hitters that you and I used to see, and Ernie Banks and Billy Williams. He's got those type of wrists and movements, and certainly has a chance to play beyond Vanderbilt.
Yeah, like Mike Schmidt or my hero Ron Say back in the day, the forearms, man, the wrists. Tim, when you talk about a young athlete controlling or learning to control their adrenaline, how do they, or really any of us, do that or learn to do that? What's the process?
I think it's centering your mind just on what you're doing right now, and it's your ability to leave what you've done behind you as quickly as you can. And I just think that takes time. I think too many people carry pitches or putts or drives or shots with them as they start to move forward. And really in competition, it is about playing forward. And if you're really playing forward, then you're centering yourself just on what you're doing right now at that time. And I just think that's learned. I think it's, for some people, the special guys, it's internal. They can get there quicker, but I think experiences help that more than anything. And that's a young man who's had some experiences here, not a ton, but he's learning on the run, and I like how he got himself in that moment yesterday.
Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin is joining us. They're on to the Super Regional once again. And Tim, of course, you have Jack Leiter, who went six innings. He struck out 11 in the first game against Georgia Tech on Saturday. Afterwards, Tech head coach Danny Hall said Leiter, quote, "is as good as we have seen," end quote. So obviously you spent a lot of time with him. What makes Jack different and special?
Well, this is his second year. He was a freshman last year. I think what makes him special is he's just very mature. He's on task. He gets into the facility, and he's moving towards what he needs to do. He's very organized mentally. I mean, off the field, he's organized. He's socially responsible. He's just real. And he's just a low maintenance guy to coach. Now, he's been privy to the fact that his dad was a former major leaguer, and a damn good one too, and an uncle that was a major leaguer too. But he's developed his own passion for the game. And I think a lot of pro athletes, when they have children, I think very few follow in the same footsteps that that their dads do for whatever reason. But in Jack's case, Jack has a very true passion for the game of baseball, and he loves pitching, and he attacks it. And I think his competitiveness and the way he goes about getting himself ready for competition is, it far exceeds how old he is right now. This is a kid that's going to, he's definitely going to have a chance to pitch beyond here, but he certainly has a high care level for what he's doing and does it very well.
A high care level. I like that too. Tim Corbin joining us. Tim, you and I have also spoken, of course, about Kumar Rocker, who is special in his own right, also the son of a famous star professional athlete. What would you say about his mindset, the way he carries himself, and what makes him different?
Similar, but you know, Kumar's more animated on the mound. Jack's more internal. But you know, when I think about those two guys, Jim, I think, you know, as kids, they both sat in stadiums for a long period of time. Jack in baseball, Kumar in football with his dad. And I just feel like the arena of competition is very natural for them. They don't posture. There's no BS. They get inside a competition, and they're competing for one thing. They're competing to win. And the other thing that's very natural about them is they compete for their boys. I mean, they love being part of a team, and that's very natural for them. They're not showcase players. They're not auditioning. It's just, here's the ball. I'm competing for my guys, and I really want to win for my guys. And I think that type of feeling is natural. I think that's something that you have been a part of in your life. You feel it. You like how it feels, and it's very fulfilling to you. And I would say from that vantage point, Kumar is, he's an alpha, and Jack is too. I mean, they're dogs. They get out there and they compete very well, and they forget about the mechanics that they work on off the field. They get onto the field, and it's just about winning.
You get a dugout full of dogs, you're not going to come off that field on the losing end very often. You know, if we take that one step further, Tim, you're talking about how if something happens, you want your guys to get beyond it as quickly as possible. Something you've talked about, quote, is rewiring yourself for what's coming now, because what's happened in the past is very much in the past. It seems to me people could spend their entire lifetime trying to learn that or trying to figure out how to rewire themselves and leave the past in the past. So how do you go about teaching that to college kids?
Well, I think it's just understanding that, you know, trying to understand the difference in, I guess, happiness in what you're doing and success. And I think when you're really passionate about something, you really care about something. And I think that's the area that I feel like as a teacher, I feel like I'm most responsible for that, you know, to hold your team and those individuals accountable for their passion and what they do and who they do it with. Because really, if you're passionate about something, you'll personally invest your spirit to create the environment you need in order to produce the outcomes you want. And if you don't, then you just leave everything to chance. And I think being mentally turned on every day when you show up in this environment and understanding that it's like, Vanderbilt at the beginning of the year, the chances of winning national championship were 1 in 300. Now they're 1 in 16. So if the chances are that small, what makes a successful season, what makes a successful campaign for these kids if only one team can win? And I just think it's more about helping your kids learn how to get better at their craft, how to use this environment to build deeper bonds, how to take on challenges, how to come back from adversity, how to grow and get better, how to test your limitations, and then how to be vulnerable and just build that self-esteem that you're looking for inside a sport. And I think when you're, you know, I talked about Kumar, but I think kids want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves, especially when they learn how good it feels, and they want to belong to something that matters. And I think that's really, when I look at being a teacher and a coach, I think that's what you try to do. You're just a facilitator. You're an organizer of an environment, and you're trying to create the best possible environment for these kids to flourish inside of it. And then if any individual accolades happen from it, cool. You know, it's great. And usually when your mind is moving towards the group, that's when those individual accolades start to happen for you.
What an amazing response. Tim Corbin, my guest. He's the head baseball coach at Vanderbilt. 19 years as head coach at Vanderbilt, has already led them to a pair of College World Series titles, a member of the American Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame, and they are not done yet. They get a little bit of time off, and then it's on to the Super Regional against East Carolina. Tim, congrats on being right back there. It is great to have you on the show. Thanks for making time for us, and I love that conversation. Really appreciate you.
No, I always appreciate you too, Jim. I hope I get a chance to see you this summer. Thanks so much.
Me too, Tim. Thank you so much. I would love to see you this summer. God, that's such a good conversation. And I'm not surprised because he and I always have great conversations on the show, but especially that one. Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin closing out the show. You want to remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They are close. They are convenient. They're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. My thanks to Vanderbilt and head coach there, Tim Corbin. Vincent Goodwill with another big performance on the show. JLC, Jason Lockenfora. Hey, listen, you are running out of time. I started today by saying 18 days, 14 shows, 17 days, 13 shows. Get up in here. I'm talking about the smack off.
The smack off.
A shot at immortality, a shot at history, a shot at $5,000. Also, one more thing if you're looking for it, episode 176 of the Jim Rome podcast with Chris Bosch is live. Really good conversation. Make sure you look for that. My thanks to my guests. My thanks to the XR4TI crew. My thanks to you clones and listeners. Have yourselves a great Monday. See you tomorrow.